Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Mr. Ben Errington. Sorry about the cough.
were you waiting to do that then?
I don't know, it kind of just happened. It was impulsive. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. You're not wearing a hat today. I was just thinking earlier, I wonder what hat Ben will wear today, because I don't think you get enough credit for like your hat game. How many hats do you have?
I have three regular, actually, why not?
Regular, three regular.
Three regular caps.
Yeah.
I've got them right in front of me, I'm going to show them. This is strange. For the audio only, I'm going to describe them. So I've got like a red canvas hat.
Burgundy, I'd say.
Burgundy, sorry, yeah. A black...
I've seen that one.
A black leather look one.
Yeah.
And now I've got a grey canvas one as well.
Nice.
And I've got quite a lot of different little beanie hats. It's because I've got a little bit of fluff on my head, that's it.
Well, it's been getting cold, so I've been thinking recently about getting a hat. And I was like, I'd like to get a cap, but it doesn't really protect... It doesn't really keep you warm, you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But anyway, horror stuff. Other horror stuff. have you seen or done anything other horror related stuff this week?
Anything horror-y?
Stabbed anyone up?
I haven't stabbed anyone up. That would be horrible, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I have. this is stuff I really need to. I really need to prep and remember this part of the show, because this is definitely the part of the show where I really lack on. Done anything else horror related? No, but I've been watching some videos with some horror games. There we go.
There you go. What have you been watching?
So I've been watching a YouTube show called Boundary Break, which I've been really enjoying, which is basically where a guy has like a free roaming camera in like in old school games. So I've seen like a couple of Resident Evil games, Silent Hills. So basically, obviously the standard camera angles you would see, he just like takes the camera and sees pretty much what the world's made out of. And it's incredibly fascinating. You get to understand what these sort of video game creators really, what stuff, you know, it's just massive. Some of these worlds are huge.
Wait, pulls back to show like the entire map?
Shows like the entire map, shows like all the little secrets, all the little stuff you weren't supposed to see. Yeah. All the little bits and bobs, which are like elements of the game, which obviously get pulled in by at certain points of the game.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just float underneath the map and stuff.
Did you ever play that game? It was by Crows. One of those guys who made Stanley Parable. And it's called something along the lines of Dr. Langelove's Incredible Adventure game or something. And so it's only like a really like short half an hour game, but you start to play it. And then Stephen Merchant is doing the narration. He goes, are you ready to play the game? And as you go to play the game, he says, oh no, the game's broken down. Can you help us run the game? So then you go behind the scenes and you've got to put all these levers to help the game happen. like you hear the noises and it's really, it's like a little demo more than anything, but it's really fun. Other horror guff, I've just finished reading Joe Hill's Strange Weather. That was Joe Hill, son of Stephen King. It was good. I don't know if I'd really call it horror, out-and-out horror. There was it's kind of like dark fantasy. You ever read, like, did you ever read Horns or watch the film Horns?
No, I haven't. Okay. I've got Nosferatu, which I need to read.
Yeah, I'd like to do that one.
Got around to that, yeah.
But there's one story, and so it's Strange Weather's four short novels, and one of them was called Loaded, and that was like about gun crime and stuff, and I wasn't expecting that, and I finished it, and the last sentence, I literally like guffawed, like, ha! No!
Really?
Because I couldn't believe that like he'd ended on that, like, in that way. It was like the end of The Mist. It was that kind of level of...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And it made you guffaw.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely. I'm long overdue a good guffaw.
Yeah, me too. I haven't guffawed quite a while.
Since that book.
since the other day. Okay, so today, so normally we talk about the 50 best horror movies ever and then we spoil the hell out of them. Today, you wanted to do something slightly different. You thought, let's do a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Why this film? Why did this film come to your knowledge?
I can't remember exactly what happened, but I stumbled across maybe the image or like the name. Maybe it was listed in something that like an actor starred in. Mm. And then I was talking about it with some friends and I said, do you remember the film 13 Ghosts? And everyone was like, no. And I was like, surely it can't.
I remember
just...
it pretty.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was like, surely it can't just be me. And I think then I messaged you and said, but remember this, or we should do an episode on this.
Yeah.
And luckily, you knew what it was. But yeah, I thought it was quite a famous film.
Yeah,
Obviously, it's got like loads of stalwarts of like the late 90s, early 2000s starring in it. I say loads, just like a few.
Well, it's a Dark Castle film. These guys made a few films that, like, if I just mention some of them, you'll know exactly the style. It was like the high budget horror that sort of was around early 2000s.
Was one of them? Sorry, I don't want to spoil the moment. No, was one of them? House on Haunted Hill, the remake.
That was the first one of Dark Castle's...
House on Haunted Hill, that remake, and this remake
really
like cross over in my mind. Like when I try and think of them, I can't think of one without the other.
Well, I think they're only like 2 years apart. So Dark Castle came about to basically remake William Castle horror films, so like older sort of horror films. So the first one was House on Haunted Hill, and then I think... this one, 13 Ghosts, was the second one. So I think they're really similar. And then they sort of gave up on the whole William Castle thing, started doing whatever you want. So so in 2002, they brought out Ghost Ship, which has got like a really killer opening scene.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of like, I don't know what it is. I think it gets really campy, like kind of like action horror campiness.
So the director, Steve Beck,
who
directed Ghost Ship and directed 13 Ghosts. It's the only two films. It's the only two films he's directed.
Yeah. 2003 they did Gothica, which I remember being quite good. Maybe it wasn't, I don't really remember.
Yeah. I remember Gothica a bit and I remember it not being great, but
okay,
probably worth a revisit. That was when Halle Berry was at the height of her powers, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then she did Catwoman and then
everyone went, yes, this is the best film she's ever been in. Give her a franchise.
And then in 2005 they did House of Wax, which I remember I was the right age to find that kind of scary. And I watched them, I was kind of curious and I was looking all this up. I watched the clip. I remember the guy from Supernatural being made into like a wax statue and like they're sort of piddling off his cheeks and stuff. And I remember that being kind of freaky.
I'm pretty sure I've saw that. That's Paris Hilton's in that, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
I think my sister used to watch that quite a lot, but I don't think I'd ever... I think I've seen it once, maybe. How about the Haunting remake? Is that anything to do with this? I suppose it's not. It's more of a bigger budget sort of thing.
I don't know about that one. Maybe.
So do you remember who was in that? So that was Liam Neeson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Owen Wilson was in it as well. I don't know why. Like the vibe of this film, The Haunting, reminds me of House on Haunted Hill and 13 Ghosts as well. It's sort of all around about the same sort of time. And they just looked very similar, these films.
Yeah.
But The Haunting was pretty naff. It's got 4.9 on IMDb.
No, I think The Haunting is a Dark Castle film, actually.
Oh, really?
Which would make sense.
You reckon they just had the same set that maybe, they just like moved around a bit and just went.
They so I think around 2005 they started to drop off, but they did two more that I think are worth mentioning. They did in 2009 they did Orphan. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I did watch that. That was all right. I mean, the twist was kind of ridiculous, but also pretty cool.
Disturbing, like super disturbing. Yeah, but it turned into like a slasher film. But I thought it was quite cool. And then they in 2010, I think the last like notable one was Splice with Adrian Brody. Someone else.
And I quite like Splice.
Alien, confusing, makes you feel
weird interspecies sex scene as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and at the start, so like there's the two penises that, like they have like little barbs on them and start kill each other at the start. Yeah,
two penises kill each other. Oh, Jesus, I don't remember that. That feels like a part of a film I would remember, but I don't remember that part.
Yeah, but so and then this one came out. But I guess the thing is like. These are high. I think these cost a lot of money to make, and I think they when you start to get films like Paranormal Activity and Blumhouse started to do low budget but like incredible returns on films. I think horror movies were like, we're not going to make any high budget horror movies anymore because it's not really worth it. But
yeah, I wonder what the budget was for this. I mean, there's a lot of well, here we go. So the budget was $42 million.
Yeah, that's insane. Now we think about
it. I mean, it grossed 41 in the US and worldwide gross 26 million. So that's pretty good going.
Yeah, yeah. Do you get, I mean, I guess The Conjuring 2, I guess that might have had a big budget, but I doubt it was that big. I don't know.
I guess this has got like what you would assume are like not massive stars, but like big stars kind of for their time. So obviously, Matthew Lillard was off the back of like things like Scream, and I'm assuming he'd done Scooby Doo.
Watching this, I kind of feel like he should only do Scooby Doo. He's a cartoon character. Although he's pretty good in the new Twin Peaks. I thought he's very good at getting like snotty. Like he's the snottiest guy.
It felt very Scooby Doo in places.
Yeah, it did.
Kind of ridiculous. I mean, a lot of the characters are really, really bad. They're real awful, aren't they? And obviously, this film also stars Shannon Elizabeth.
That Christmas episode we did.
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost, yeah, she was in Jack
Frost. Jack Frost getting shout. She was in Jack Frost getting...
Shagged, killed
in a shower. Yeah. And in this film, she seems like she loves a bathroom. Like she's never seen a bathroom before in her life.
I thought the same thing was going to happen again. Oh, she's going to get attacked in the bath again.
You're ready for Jack Frost to walk in. So obviously, that was off the back of things like she'd been in loads of like...
American Pie. Sort
of teen comedies, yeah. So like... American Pie and stuff like that. And then also stars Tony Shalhoub. Is that how you say his name? So obviously Monk. Did you ever see Monk?
No, but I thought this is the guy, it may not be. Is this the guy from Men in Black who gets his head blown off? Ow, it really hurt. Oh. You know, and his head goes really small. And,
I don't know. That was a good voice. That was a good voice there. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Oh, wait, no. He was in Men in Black 2.
Oh, is it not
as Jack Jeebs. So maybe he was, yeah. Yeah, maybe that was it. Yeah. There we go, that's good memory, and also good memory of the exact line. So yeah, I mean, it's not a great cast. Let's not embarrass ourselves by saying that.
What's her name? But, the Peter girl. I'm just looking at her filmography. Army of Darkness, Schindler's List, Matilda, The Amazing Spider-Man.
So Embeth Davids, that is. Yeah. She's in... Probably her biggest role was Bicentennial Man, where she was like Robin Williams's not creator, but friend. I don't know. And she was Matilda. She was the teacher. What's the teacher's name? The teacher's name is Miss Honey.
Miss Honey, yeah.
Love Matilda, man.
Yeah. They've all been in like, you know, enough stuff to warrant.
They've all been in stuff. Exactly. But you're not looking at the cast going, this is a great cast. You're looking at thinking, where do I know that person from? They're definitely in one other thing, at least.
So I was looking at the film, I was getting my notes together, and normally you have like the Empire, what Empire said about it. And I thought, we haven't got one for this, but then I went on to Rotten Tomatoes to see what the critic consensus was. So this is the critic consensus. The production design is first rate, but 13 Ghosts is distinctly lacking in scares. And I thought, oh, that's a bit meandering. It's got 14% of Rotten Tomatoes. And I thought, I better look for like a good review just to sort of like balance it out. I found the only one I could find. This is like the best one I could find. Still entertaining in spite of its numbers of faults. I was like, oh, that's about as good as you're gonna get.
It's like you're looking for positive and you're looking for negative. You just find pretty much bang in the middle. Like it's still good, it's still good even though it's shit.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
much what it says.
But so you enjoyed it? Is this the first time? Well, when do you remember when you first watched it?
I must have been not long after it came out because I remember I don't think I saw it. No, I wouldn't have seen it in the cinema because it is an 18. It is rated R. I remember watching it with my mum, like on DVD. Like, can't have been. It must have been one of the earliest DVD releases.
Yeah.
And I've seen it quite a few times. So when I remembered it, I kind of remembered it quite fondly.
Mm.
And I thought, oh yeah, that was cool. I mean, it was one of those good shit movies, wasn't it? Like, it's not great, but I mean, it's got enough going on that it's like quite quirky and interesting. Like, it is quite a good concept when you think about it. It's a good concept. It's set in a good place and with different actors and a different screenplay. It could have been like a really, really interesting.
I think the thing that film. People like us, our age group, probably remember the most is the different ghosts. Do you know what I mean? Like
you had
the Jackal, the Juggernaut, and they were kind of cool. It was like a game.
It was all really cool, and they could have done a lot more interesting, unique things with it. They kind of just made it like there's a house, there's like a glass house. And all these ghosts are in boxes and the house moves occasionally and then people get killed. That was pretty much all that happened.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything that was particularly unique to each one of these ghosts' particular traits, did they really?
Wait, so did your mum, you know, like when the lawyer gets split in half, did your mum say, oh, look at that, Ben?
my mum probably introduced me to like horror. She used to let me watch terrible horror films when I was younger. I think because she enjoyed horror quite a lot.
Yeah,
and then she waited till I was like a sort of a good age to start watching horror films, and then she just let me watch anything, and it kind of like did certain films really stay with me for a long time. I think I told you about I was terrified of like Event Horizon for years.
That was terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, like I remember seeing it and being like, I've got to go to bed. I'm terrified. And she's like,
Event Horizon was a similar time to this, right?
Yeah, probably early like 2000s. Late night. Yeah. Probably early 2000s, late 90s, possibly. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So I watched this.
Oh, I remember that 97.
The last time I watched this was in RE in year 8. So, like, I think it was like towards the end of the year, and
that's a weird.
Yeah. And it was like either like, okay, kids, let's like draw something. It's going to be one of those lessons where you're just going to draw. And then I remember someone had 13 Ghosts on DVD, and they're like, oh no, let's watch this
in RE,
yeah. The teacher, Mr. Wheatman, who's like the cool teacher, and he was like, no, I can't let you watch a horror movie. It's an 18. You're like 12. You can't watch a horror movie.
Oh, go on.
And then my friend Liam said, but there's boobs. And he went, no, okay then, all right.
That is what convinced the teacher to let you watch the film. But there's boobs.
Yeah. And I think that was the last time I saw it. But I remember at the time thinking, my mind is being blown a little bit. Like a lawyer split in half, that was kind of cool. I was the right age for this sort of lawyer split in half.
I didn't really know what a lawyer was back then, but you split in half, so it was great.
Yeah. Okay, so, and you watched it again yesterday. When did you watch it?
A few nights ago.
Does it hold up to your, you know, your nostalgia?
Like some parts, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was nitpicking a lot with a lot of different things. It was mainly the characters, you know. Yeah. It was the characters and the things they said, which, like, you've got to take with a pinch of salt because this is a kind of ridiculous film. It's got that B-movie feel to it and that it is a bit stupid. There's a lot of overacting.
There's a bit where the Peter woman, like, came into the house and she saved him. And they go, what are you doing here? I'm saving your ass. And I was like, my eyes were rolling so hard.
There was also another bit where someone said, who the hell is that? And he went, I'll explain later.
They did that like three or four times. Don't worry, but I'll explain later. Yeah.
I'll explain later. It's just like, just explain now really quickly. Yeah. Like people don't talk that way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it does hold up in some ways, but not in others for you?
I mean, it holds up in terms of like some little cool set pieces and that, but pretty much the fabric of what holds the film together is just completely fallen apart for me. Some cool little visuals are the stuff that I remember and I think that was cool and I still just as cool as I remember it, but almost everything else was kind of disappointing.
Oh, yeah, we were going to call this episode like a guilty pleasure episode, but I have to say, I was watching it with Kat. I was like, Kat, you're like, this is a cool horror movie. And I was like, I'm not enjoying this.
It's like, not a pleasure.
I felt kind of embarrassed. I was like, I kind of wanted Kat to enjoy it. And I was like, I was enjoying it. And I was like, oh, God.
You know when you remember a film and you go, oh, man, you got to watch this. It's so good. And you sit down with someone and you start watching and you go, it's not, is it? It's not. You feel a bit sheepish. You're like, should we turn it off?
Yeah. But, okay, so let's jump into the story a little bit. I mean...
Yeah, shall I just give you a brief synopsis of everything?
Yeah.
Okay, so 13 Ghosts, obviously, let's talk about the title because it's got the number 1 and 3, like, inexplicably in the middle of the word 13, which kind of works on first glance, but when you try and look into it a little bit more, it really doesn't. It's almost like they've just gone, right, let's get the number in there somehow. So obviously it's THIR13EN Ghosts.
Is that how it was on the posters and the DVD?
Yes. Yeah, yes, okay. It is. Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a bit silly. There's 2001 supernatural horror film directed by Steve Beck, remake of the 1960s film 13 Ghosts, which is just a 1 and a 3 by William Castle. So brief synopsis. So when Sirius Kritikos?
Cyrus.
Because no one's called Cyrus, are they? Nobody is.
Cyrus the Virus.
Cyrus the Virus.
Only bad guys are called Cyrus.
Only bad guys are made up people. So Cyrus Kritikos,
listens to this called Cyrus going, oh.
Oh, for God's sake.
My
name always gets a bad rap. So he's a very rich collector of unique things. When he dies, he leaves it all to his nephew, who's like the same age as him, and his family. And it all included in his house, his fortune. Okay. And his malicious collection of ghosts.
Malicious.
Yeah. I've got a lovely... I leave you everything. My house, my fortune. Sounds good. And my malicious collection of ghosts.
No. Can I take the others?
Can I take the others? The ghosts are included. It's a triple package deal.
The film starts with... They're like... getting that last ghost. It's the 12th ghost they're getting, and it's called the Juggernaut. And Cyrus is there, and it's like lightning, and they're in like a...
And he's got like a psychic assistant called Dennis Rafkin, who's played by Matthew Lillard, who's like proper... He has all these convulsions and headaches and visions. You know, and he's like, the ghosts!
I watched a video about a guy who... He couldn't stop ejaculating. Like, he ejaculated, like, yeah, like 340 orgasms every day, like every minute or something. And he just couldn't stop walking without, like, sort of falling and like falling to the floor. And I was like, Matthew Lillard has that same problem. Anybody know he's like jizzing all over the place here?
Oh my God. It was just so unfortunate, wasn't it? I've seen the video as well. He hates himself, doesn't he? Every time.
It looks kind of like, you know, when like you walked in a dog and they peed in the corner of the like, floor and they're looking up at you and they're a little bit sort of guilty. He had that same face every time he did a little jizz.
Walk into the library and I jizz in my pants.
Yeah, I was thinking that exact same. Like the face. The facial expressions were spot on.
Oh, it's like it hurts him now.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you are listening to this and you haven't seen this, Google man ejaculates against his will.
It's like a disorder. Like he can't stop. Very unhappy about it.
Because you just couldn't concentrate on anything. Running for a bus.
I saw him like he was at a funeral or something. He's walking away from the ghost.
Absolutely not.
Where is it? I think it was on some sort of gravestone or something. He's walking past some churchyard. And then he just suddenly dropped to his knees and then dropped to his front and then like stood up and looked a bit disappointed and carried on walking.
What do you reckon he... Disgusted. What do you reckon diapers. What do you reckon he wears?
Diapers, definitely.
He ain't got nothing else to give, surely. Maybe dry as a pancake.
Pancake. Particularly overcooked pancake.
Be nothing else to give. He's not got like constant fluid down there. Surely he's going to dry up eventually.
A couple of prunes. Down there,
a couple of prunes and a little shriveled sultana. Yeah.
You know when you're eating popcorn and then you get one that hasn't cooked properly and it's like a little stone. Oh, well, yeah, it's just like that. Okay.
What's the point? Oh, yeah, the point is
Matthew Lillard's
performance is like that. So he keeps having headaches and convulsions and visions of these ghosts and stuff. It's almost like he's one of those cinematic psychics who, like, touches people and then sees their past.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's like, oh, my God, the editing. This is one thing that annoyed me a little bit. And it dates this kind of age of film, like, so much, where you have, like, the constant cutting, like, and in the invert the colors, like, constantly, like, it's bleaching. It's like an MTV music video, like, everything.
Yeah, and it was so loud and in your face.
Yeah,
like,
chill out.
Visually, it was like, fucking
and
hell.
The camera's constantly, like, always moving. It was too much.
It's almost like, there are 13 ghosts in this film. How does that sound? Bloody terrifying.
Yeah.
Now, have a look at this. Whoa!
Maybe that's why the film's not particularly, like, scary. Like, I don't know. It's tense in some ways. But, like, there's no, like, jump scares or anything. Because it's constantly at 11.
It's like a Rammstein concert. Fire over there. Yeah. Jesus, what the hell's that? Whoa, fuck.
This feels like the visuals that you have behind Rammstein when they're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So so they're about to catch the juggernaut ghost, which is like a big, strong one. And then the Peter, is it Peter? Am I pronouncing that right? Peter, as in the animal rights type people.
Yeah. So she's not really like, she's a ghost rights person, isn't she?
Well, this doesn't make any sense, because she says it's not right to trap these souls. This ghost has killed like 40 people, they say. They say the juggernaut has killed, like, it killed 12 people when he was alive, and now another 40 or something since he's dead. It's like,
good
you,
to trap
you can't trap him. It's not right. It is. He's killing people.
He's killing people. She's like going, that mass murderer man you're putting in prison, let him out. Let him roam free on the fields.
That dog's just mauled a whole class of toddlers, but he's so cute. Let him run free. No, not in the schoolyard. Okay. So it's so campy. Like, and then they capture the ghost. Juggernaut kills a load of people. They trap him in this glass box, and there's like incantations written on the wall, so he can't sort of get out. Also, they have these little special glasses that they wear. They're like a little UV light, so they can see the spectral glasses, so they can see the ghost.
Do you reckon when that this was at a cinema, they used to give out like glasses like that? I reckon it'd be. I mean, I'm not expecting you to know that, but it could have been quite interesting.
Yeah, I bet somewhere did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cardboard glasses or something. So
after they capture the ghost, turns out Cyrus just turns up dead. He's just led there, going bloody. Yeah. I've been done writing, and Embeth Davids, the ghost. What should we call her? The ghost sympathizer. The ghost sympathizer woman, her bloke's been done in as well at the same time.
Yeah.
So what's that? What does that teach her? She's sympathizing for the ghost, but now he's done in your other half. I mean.
Yeah.
Screwed.
I just remembered that there was a van to lure the juggernaut ghost. There was a truck shooting blood everywhere. Yep. It's like it's constantly at 11. It's like, this is where we're starting from.
Yeah, it was a bit mad.
Yeah.
So then we get introduced to like the family. And I find like, so initially we see a family. So Tony Shalhoub, Arthur, so he's Cyrus's nephew. We are introduced to the family. He's got a wife and like a young boy and then like a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
And then we're sort of in,
and
we're
the
sort
maid,
of shown.
There's like a hip street maid.
Yeah, but then we're showed that the wife dies in like a fire in a really strange way, where it sort of just pans around the house.
Yeah, it's super reverby, and they've got like twinkling piano noises.
Yeah, and then we just get some audio, which obviously we hear that there was a fire and that she died, and that was it.
Yeah.
But then when we see them living in a flat after the fire, this is the weirdest dynamic of any family ever. They just seem like four totally different people. Would never
that
be
is a good
they're
point.
Not a family
because
they're just like there's like Arthur Shalhoub with his like hot teenage daughter, like a little
Italian kid
and like
and a hip
black
street black
nanny
mate. Yeah, who's yeah,
like, who's like dropping out all the one-liners, and just it's a really weird dynamic, because I'm like, they make a lot about being pretty much broke and they've got to live in this shit house, but it's just like They've got a nanny.
They've got a nanny. Yeah, I was thinking
that's
that.
The first thing you cancel. He's the first like, I thing can't you cancel afford... the subscription to.
Yeah, so I'm sure he says like we can't afford something really like basic, rudimentary. It's like cornflakes or something. We can't afford cornflakes, man. Or something. And then it goes, well, the nanny must cost like 200 quid a week or something. Like,
yeah. And then the nanny is shit. Like she said, we get it's made out very early on that she can't cook.
Yeah.
She just like pretty much just... They're talking to him, like the kid, about... Are they talking to him about, like, people dying and stuff?
He's just interested in... They don't really go anywhere with this, but he's just interested in dead things.
This Italian kid is weird as well. He speaks a little bit like, all right, how is it going, man?
Wow,
he's
you sound exactly like Adam Sandler.
Yeah. He is Adam Sandler. Young Adam Sandler. He's sort of got a bit of a speech impediment, but he's like, yeah. He is like the worst kid actor ever. He's just like, he goes back and forth. He's got like a really annoying little face. He's got like, a chain
stupid
around his neck.
Stupid face kid. Yeah.
Stupid face kid. Yeah. He got like a chain around his neck and like black spiked hair. He's a shithead.
It looks like he's a Green Day fan. He looks like Fat Mike if someone had like shrunk him.
I tell you who he looks like. Guy Fieri. He looks like a young Guy Fieri before he discovered
I think he is Guy bleach, Fieri. Yeah.
Before he discovered bleach for his hair, he looks exactly like him. He's got the same dress sense and he's a little prick. Oh, I'm sorry. I like Guy Fieri. I love Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. It's one of my favourite things to watch. It's a true story as well.
I don't know what that is. It's sort of cooking program, but...
Cooking program where he goes around to all these little hidden little gems all around America and finds like loads of food that's really terrible for him.
I like Hell's Kitchen. I like Grease Gordon Ramsay going around to all the shit places and saying, you shit.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good as well, yeah.
Okay, so we're introduced to the family. A lawyer shows up and he goes, I've got something to show you guys. You're a family, gather around. We put a presentation together for you.
Yeah, we put a presentation together on like some weird PC game background, like some weird RPG, like broken sword background.
Yeah. And the video window pops up and it's Cyrus and he's like, I've lived a good life, but I left a lot of family stuff. So I'm going to make all of you, you can have my house and stuff. And then every now and again, the window would minimize.
Yeah.
And then it would reopen. So he's got like something extra to say. So yeah. I imagine like the lawyer's like been told to like minimize it there. Maximize.
Yeah,
just to, like,
I got confused
thing.
By that. Like, minimize it. Oh, no, wait, he's got something else to say. Yeah. Just fucking play the whole thing, man.
Yeah. And there's like other windows popping up. It does. That's not real technology.
No, it's not.
Okay,
technology
so
does not exist.
They're like, very happy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
They're going to get a free house. The key looks a bit weird. They all drive to the house.
The key looks like something from a computer game. Like
this is weird. So they go, how far away is it? And the lawyer goes, oh, yeah, it's just around the block. The next scene, he says, it's about 4 or 5 miles from anywhere else. Like, you won't see anyone else around. And to get there, they drove through like this like rundown neighborhood.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, so and they get there.
Where's this place?
And then what's his name? Matthew Lillard he's there. He's in like a power inspector costume. I don't know what that is.
Costume. He bought it from the joke shop.
Yeah. And he's like, look, guys, the power's out. I've got to come in here and I've got to check the power. And it's out. The house itself is just a big glass box with lots of paneling and stuff. Very modern. Yeah,
and then they look through it and you can like see through the whole house pretty much. And then one of them goes, I hope the bathroom's in the basement. What? Because someone's going to, there's no one around for 4 or 5 miles. You can do as many peas as you want. No one's going to see.
It's weird how they say, oh, you can see all the way through. And then 10 minutes later, they say, I can't see. I've lost the guys. Do you know what I mean?
I've lost the person who's in the next room, even though there's fucking glass walls everywhere.
Sorry, it's the rain's coming in. It sounded like it was leaking into the house.
Oh, the rain is coming down big time.
I think it's okay. Okay, so they go inside the house. Inside the house is like loads of like, you know, knives and swords and art, astrolabes and
loads of bits of tat,
expensive bits of lots of brass.
Yeah, lots of brass and bits of tat. Oh, here's a bloody everything's like, oh, you couldn't relax in there, could you?
Yeah, Matthew Lillard. I think his name's Dennis. So he comes in and he goes, right, I'm going to check the basement. Well, I'm going to get those power lines sorted.
He comes in to check the basement and he jizzes in his pants.
A lot. So this is the bit where I was like, wow, he is that guy from that video. Like, so this is where they keep all the ghosts. So I think the idea is that like it's all, he's overwhelmed by all these 12 ghosts that are down there.
Yeah, because he doesn't know the ghosts are in the house at this point. He's just come in to get some money, which Cyrus is like, owed him for all of the fit times he caught ghosts for him.
Yeah.
Or helped him catch ghosts. Yeah, so he sees like the glass sheets with all the Latin phrases all over, the barrier spells.
Yeah.
And he's having his flashes, and then he just pretty much, when he goes down into the basement, he discovers the 12 ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all like we get some flashes of them, and they're all evil looking. The ghost designs, I think, are actually one of the good things in this.
Yeah.
Film.
So should we just quickly run through the ghosts? Well, not too far. So we've got the firstborn son.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like a little ghost with like an arrow in his head.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I got the torso, which is pretty much just a torso. I swear you only see this thing like twice.
There's a few you only see a couple of times. They're like not interested enough to get enough screen time.
The bound woman. The bound woman.
I think she's hanging or something.
Yeah, that's it. She's just like a woman hanging. The withered lover. So someone with like burn all the way down her face.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Torn Prince is just like a jock dude, like from the 50s.
Baseball.
High school, and he's like...
Greaser, yeah.
He's a baseball star with a bad attitude.
Exactly, yeah.
Angry Princess, who's like a plastic surgery laden big hard...
She was the boobs that my friend was... talking about
boobs, but cuts all over it, and boobs that rot solid as well.
When the boobs came on, the RE teacher, Mr. Wheatman, was disappointed.
what did he say?
I remember him being a bit like, oh, I thought there was going to be real, like
the boobs came on the
dead boobs,
the non-dead, the boobs came on the screen, and he jizzed in his pants. And then we got the pilgrimess, who is like a horrible looking witch.
Yeah, she's got a, what's it called? What do you call them things? The, like, wooden panels that you get stoned on. Yeah,
I can't think of what it's called.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. It's called something. it's on the tip of my tongue. Balls. And then we've got the great child and dire mother. It's just a big, fat bloke who's not a child.
I think that's a cheat,
all.
That is, because there's two ghosts there.
Like, yeah, is that two in one?
Yeah, they put the two in one on that one.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think so. I've not done the math.
No, not done the matherage.
But then
we've got the hammer, who's just like a bloke with loads of bloody
bolts
and spikes through his body. I mean, it looks painful.
Yeah.
The jackal. I mean, the jackal's the best one. So it's the ghost of a man, the jackal.
A what? A man?
The jackal is the ghost of a man. I thought it was a woman.
Oh.
This has got like a cage on its head.
Yeah.
In like... sort of straight jacket thing, and she looks terrifying.
He is the most visually interesting out of all the ghosts in it.
Definitely.
And then
we got the juggernaut, who's the big scary strong man.
Just got a big chin And he's he looks like a Frankenstein ghost.
Yeah, so that's 12. So who could be the 13th ghost? Ooh, well, we will find out next week. Yeah.
So whilst the Arthur guy, the dad, is signing some paperwork with the lawyer, who's telling him, like, oh, all the money is sorted, you don't have to worry about it, Cyrus is it's all fine. The kids and the nannies are like looking around the rooms, and they all get separated. The teenage girl gets to a bedroom. The boy's on a scooter. He goes down somewhere. He doesn't go to the basement yet, but and then there's a nanny who's like lost the kid within seconds. Who's lost the kid in a glass house.
She is awful. You can't cook. She's lost a kid in a glass house.
Yeah.
Jesus. There is a lovely line where Arthur does say, "Now, nah, first rule is don't be throwing stones."
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. I enjoyed that. I clapped to that bit.
That's one of my rules in any house I've been in.
Don't
throw stones. Rude.
The plasma screen. It's rude to throw stones.
Yeah.
I like your house. It's lovely. What are you doing? Just throwing stones at the wall, mate. What are you doing? Throwing stones at the windows. Skimming stones across your bowl of soup. Yeah.
Okay. So then Matthew Lillard runs upstairs and he goes, Arthur, don't, you've got to get out of this house. There's loads of ghosts in the basement. And he's like, really like, Arthur's like, whatever, I don't believe you. The lawyer's like, don't listen to this fool.
And then Matthew Lillard goes, well, let me try and convince you with some great overacting and see what.
Oh, yeah. So Arthur touches. this is never me. So Arthur's like touching Matthew Lillard. And every time he touches him, he goes, it's like an involuntary orgasmic spasm.
I don't reckon it's involuntary. I reckon it's totally, totally voluntary.
Voluntary. Yeah.
He just goes, oh, I'm going to jizz now. Oh, God, it's a ghost again.
Stop massaging me. Like he's, but he's actually having visions of. Apparently, he's a psychic in the sense that he can see the whole history of someone's life. And he's seeing the wife that got like burned and stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah. He's very seeing happy. Everything. Yeah. So he basically sees that the withered lover, the ghost, the ghost in the house is Arthur's deceased wife.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, the house starts to like close and panels start to shift and go. Yeah. And whilst Matthew Lillard's trying to tell Arthur to get out, the lawyer has snuck out, he's greased his way through some hole somewhere, and he's going to pick up a big bag of money. And as he's leaving, I think he sees the door open, and I think the naked, what's the name, the angry princess comes out with a knife, and then she's coming towards him, and then like the glass panel slides down and cuts him in half. It's quite a good effect.
What was this kind of thing in films happened a few times. I'm going to say a few times, but I'm only going to give one other example of like
people
getting sliced. It's on Resident Evil. This is very much like the laser beam corridor.
Also, in Resident Evil, happens in Cube as well.
Happens in Cube. So how does somebody get sliced in Cube?
It's a really good effect actually. It's a really lovely film. So it's like a razor wire, like a Patek squared cubed pattern, just sort of swings down. And then the guy sort of like topples to pieces.
Yeah, what was with that? What was with everyone loved doing that in the early 2000s? What was of people just getting sliced into loads of bits?
They must have just figured out like an interesting way to do it, like special effect for it.
I like that effect. Can I borrow that effect, please? Yeah, you can.
There was a point where the thumbs and the eyes was a big one in a lot of films.
Yeah.
After 28 Days Later, there's certain things that like become the zeitgeist of how people do. What do you think it is now?
It's almost like they just want to find a really... What it is now, well, maybe not right now, but a few years ago, was like in ghost films when you'd see a ghost and it like someone's mouth would go really big and their eyes would shut.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, there was a tutorial online that told you how to do it. I did it myself as well. It was really easy. And you just used After Effects. And after that tutorial came out, like so many low-budget films used that because it was just cheap and it looked all right. I think after Gerald's Game, I'll be surprised if we don't get a few more Ring of Ocean, Dig Loving sort of.
Don't even mention it.
Were we talking about Ring of Ocean the other day?
Talking about what?
Ring of Ocean.
What's that?
So I was reading. So I was, you know, Jimmy Fallon, the TV host. I was like, heard that he had a ring accident. I was like, what's that?
Oh,
because my dad
no.
used to say that he, my dad used to work in mines and stuff, and he doesn't wear his wedding ring anymore because he used to say he can't wear it because he'll get trapped in a machine and he'll get an avulsion. And I was like looking at pictures, wondering like, what the hell's an avulsion? And it's fucking disgusting. The ring literally like catches and pulls like the entire skin and nail of the finger off, like as if it's just like a little.
Well, that happened to Jimmy Fallon.
Well, I've never seen the actual picture, but he said it was horrific. And I've seen pictures of other people's ring avulsions. If you want to have a look, I mean, just be warned, it is graphic and quite difficult.
I don't want to have a look.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person who would.
Even the word that you, even the word degloving sent shivers up my spine.
Yeah.
It's just like, ah,
Okay, where are we? So the kid, whilst all this going on, the lawyer gets split in half and the kid is on his scooter and he hears voices telling him to come downstairs and then other voices telling him to stay upstairs and he says, fuck those other voices, I'm going downstairs. Goes into the basement. He gets, I don't think he gets attacked per se, but...
He just gets sort of like disappeared.
He gets like cornered and then at some point lightning strikes. He turns around and sees the ghost of Cyrus, the guy who owned the house and stuff. He's there. Yeah. He's got a bloodied neck. Hasn't changed his clothes.
No. Could have done, couldn't he? Yeah, so the little boy vanishes, and then obviously now is Arthur and everybody are like, well, we've got to find Bobby, and we've also got to like escape the house. I don't know. I'm not really sure what everyone's goal is here.
I think the goal is mainly for Arthur to find his kids and get out, but because the house is constantly shifting now, it's becoming impossible to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, they can't seem to see anyone now, even the people that are on the same level. It's a bit, doesn't really make that much
sense.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird. Yeah, so Shannon Elizabeth's character ends up in a bathroom. And she is, it's like, it's just a bathroom with a bath, a toilet, and a sink. And she acts like she's never seen one of those before. Yeah. She's like, this bathroom is amazing. I was like, kind of average.
Yeah.
It's kind of average. It's not that great. There's some cool bits where her and the angry princess is there, but she can't see her.
Yeah.
And she like, does something that obviously she like sort of starts filling up her hands in the bath and splashing it in her face.
Yeah, I do that.
Do you do that?
I don't think anyone does that.
Nobody does it. I was going to say, what? And the angry prince is like in the bath, but then Arthur bursts in and sort of says, Bobby's gone missing. We've got to find him.
You don't explain this, but the angry princess is weeing in the bath whilst the girl, Shannon Elizabeth, is splashing her face.
It's nice to have a little wee in the bath, though.
Not your bath, right?
Are we in the bath? And then someone else gets in and they'll never know.
Oh, it's
warm. Extra warm.
Yeah.
Bit of a funny colour.
I thought the boiler was off. It is.
It is.
Okay.
But nature's boiler isn't.
Okay.
Yeah, partly after that, the jackal. So the ghosts are like all getting out basically as the house shifted.
Yeah.
They're all coming out and attacking people. So the jackal, which is like the straitjacket one, attacks Kathy and like chucks her up in the air, slices her face with claws. Arthur sort of helps. And then this is the time where everyone sort of starts to realize that the ghosts are real because they start popping on the little glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing them.
The jackal, pretty soon after this. So the little kid is gone, by the way, until later on. The jackal attacks. I think the first attack, he attacks the girl, the daughter, right? And then they're running away from him and stuff. And they all get separated. At this point, it's just a lot of being attacked by ghosts and sort of getting away and narrowly jumping under glass panels as they close.
And then the ghost sympathizer turns up, Embeth Davids, and she like saves them. She's got like quicksilver flares that she throws, and somehow that works. And I don't know what it really does.
Yeah,
because she seems to throw it at one of the ghosts, and then it kind of just
maybe it's like the light or something. I don't know.
Delays it briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then they explain it. That there's a lot of obviously explaining.
There is.
The house is a machine powered by the captive ghosts, and it allows its user to see the past, present, and future. Like,
I don't think it makes that much sense because at some point they're like, "Why would anybody want to do that?" And they were like, "Well, if knowledge is power, this is the most powerful thing." And I'm like, "Why? I don't know."
And
how
then
you'd use
someone
that,
say the only way to shut it down is through the creation of a 13th ghost.
Yeah,
which is created from a sacrifice of pure love. It's like, how specific.
Yeah.
And where do they find out this information? Like in a fucking guidebook?
Well, it's like a version of the Necronomicon, is it? They say like the spell book or something.
Yeah, yeah, because they've got like a book which has got all the drawings in and stuff.
Yeah.
So I stand corrected, sorry.
Yeah, but it's called Basilius's machine. I think that's what the house is, actually the machine. In the center, there's like the swirling spiral shapes.
Oh, that was like PS3 fucking.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. It's like the opening credits. It's like Activision, and then it'll have like the gears and stuff spinning.
Yeah. It was one of those machines where it's like you were looking at it and it was spinning around so fast, and people were standing about 3 feet away from it. It's like that's gonna give you a ring avulsion, if anything.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah. So
I don't mean a ring on your hand.
No. I was thinking the same thing. I just didn't want to say it. So the teenager goes missing at some point. Arthur, yep. The girl, the Peter girl, and Matthew Lillard are in the safe bit in the library. And then they were like, my kids, and Matthew Lillard. So we find out Matthew Lillard has been helping Cyrus get all these ghosts together, and he's not been paid. And we find out that the fourth ghost is the tortured lover is, or the withered lover is, Arthur's wife, and yeah, Matthew Lillard helped them capture his wife. And he's like, look, man, I didn't know who you were. I'm sorry about that and stuff. But yeah. I'll help you get your kids back. Let's go back in and find your kids.
Yeah.
So then they take like a panel of the glass with the spells on it, and they go into the basement again. They get fucked up by they don't find the kids. It was kind of pointless they even went in the first place.
This bit's kind of pointless. And then Dennis is like, there's only room for you behind there in that little corner behind the glass. Like, well, really, if you really wanted to live, you'd make that happen, wouldn't you? You make that work. Yeah. But let me in as well.
Yeah.
So Dennis kind of like sacrifices himself to like the hammer, which beats the living bejesus out of him, and then the juggernaut turns up and snaps him like a dry Rivita.
Exactly, like a Kit Kat.
And
then Arthur. Oh yeah, so now so all the spe- like the house is kind of towards the end of its spell. What's her name? The nanny goes with the Peter girl into the main room. Cyrus turns up, and Peter girl betrays the nanny and whops around the face with a thing, with a book.
Big old book of shit.
Leather bound book. And then she's like, Cyrus, I love you. I did everything you said. Blah, de, blah, de, blah. And then Cyrus says, turn on the spell. There's like a PA system.
I don't really understand this, because like we're given like something very early on, which is Cyrus and the ghost sympathizer having a bit of like a rivalry.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're like she's like kind of in love with him, and he's kind of like, oh, just do this and do that. It's just like, I just kind of felt a bit like, really? It just didn't feel particularly right. No. And it was at this point, I didn't really understand what everyone's end goal was. I was a bit like, well, what is everybody really trying to do here? Like,
and I was like, why is there a PA system in that really old book? Like, could they've built this? The PA system doesn't just control the music, because the black nanny remixes the house at some point.
She remixes the house.
Because it changes like the doors and stuff.
She's a woman of color. Surely she'll be able to scratch records or remix the house. I mean, it was a little bit silly.
So anyway, so the final bit of the house is coming together, the final spell. Cyrus goes into the final room, and he goes in there and just slips through at the right time, so the Peter girl goes, no, wait for me, and she gets smushed. The effects weren't too great on that.
I had to watch it more than once to see what happened, but she kind of got squished, and that was a bit silly.
Yeah, it like on a, you know, you get those photo apps where it kind of makes one part of the screen bulbous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it looked like that kind of effect. Yeah,
it did.
So she's out. The nanny, as far as we know, is out.
See ya.
Cyrus is back, but we don't see where he is. Arthur. All the ghosts are called to the spinning machine in the center of the house. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what was going through Arthur's head, because he was like, I've got to kill myself to be the 13th ghost, but that's what they want me to do. But I don't want to do that, but I need to do it to save my kids. And then he doesn't do it. I don't really know what the point.
No, he doesn't do it. So there's like all these. So the kids are like in a sort of clockwork device, surrounded by these rotating metal rings, which are spinning at an unbelievably fast pace.
Yeah,
and I don't really understand. Like to save,
but
his
then he
kids,
does it anyway. Do you know what I mean?
So to save his kids, all he's got to do is jump to them.
And I think the idea is, I think what they're going for, he has to jump and kill himself. And if he dies and makes the ghosts, that would open the thing. Yeah. But then he says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll leave the kids. And then Cyrus suddenly turns up, and then they go, you're not a ghost. He takes his glasses off and Cyrus is still there.
So Cyrus faked his death, the dirty bastard.
At the same time, the nanny wakes up and starts remixing the house. And so it's like
such
a PA system.
Remixing the house.
All it is, it's like 6 or 7 faders, and she's moving them up and down. And then the house starts to move like in odd ways, and the gears start grinding.
I wonder what the science behind that is. Like, I wonder what the actual mechanism of that is. Well, we got this fader here.
It probably makes DJ scratching noises this as well.
Yeah, it does. Even though it's just a fader, PA system, no. Records involved, but it's like.
Yeah. So then the ghosts are like free at that point. They can leave the circle, and then they all go to Cyrus because he captured them all, and they're all pissed off at him. They lob him into the spinning gears. They
lob him into the spinning gears, and he obliterates into 1,000 little bitties.
Yeah. And then Arthur's like, okay, well, now I can jump into the thing.
Yeah.
And he saves him. I mean, that's pretty much it, right? And then the house kind of crumbles around him.
The house kind of crumbles around him. He saved his kids. And then you get a little scene right at the end, which is Maggie, the nanny, sort of just going,
I quit. I'm tired of this shit.
I quit. This wasn't in the job description. Oh, shit.
Remember when all horror films had to end with the black character cussing the film? Like cussing the job or...
Y'all crazy. Y'all crazy. I had none of this shit.
Crazy wild people.
Crazy wild people. Out of here.
I'm sure in Event Horizon they had a guy, because the black guy sort of got shot off in space and he came back and went, you're crazy.
You're crazy. Sure. I've been shot up into space and shit. I reckon every film should have...
LL Cool J in that shark one.
He's got... LL Cool J in Deep Blue Sea is amazing. Don't let the shark tries to eat his... Or does eat his parrot or his bird. Hmm. You ate my damn bird. And he explodes the shark. We should do Does Deep Blue Sea count as a horror?
Yeah, I think so. I've not seen it in longer than this one.
Deep Blue Sea is fantastic, and we should definitely watch it, because that is definitely a guilty pleasure, but a guilty pleasure that is a pleasure.
Okay, we'll see about that. I don't remember. I remember.
We'll see about that.
I remember Samuel L. Jackson. That scene being particularly pretty cool. Okay, dude. So that's how the film ends. Would you like some trivia?
I'd love a slice of trivia.
Okay, the first slice. Number one, the film is included on the film critic Roger Ebert's most underrated list. True or false?
Most underrated?
Really?
What? False.
It's actually his most hated list of films.
Oh, God. Most hated.
So, number two, what was the name of the RE teacher who let me watch 13 Ghosts in Year 8?
Oh, Jesus.
I did mention it twice. I made a point to mention it twice.
Were you listening thing? Mr. Begins with R.
No. Mr. RE.
See, it's because you said Roger Ebert. All I can think of is Rogers. Mr. Rogers,
Roger Ebert is Mr. RE.
Can you give me a clue? Can you give me a clue?
So you find he's a man of a crop, a field. There's like a certain field, certain crop, and he's a man on this certain crop. He's made of this crop.
He's made of the crop?
Yeah. Mr.
Corn.
Well, man. That's close. Mr. Wheatman. Close. Yeah,
I did pretty much completely forget. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's not a point. Okay.
Mr. Wheatman. Is he listening? Are you listening, Mr. Wheatman?
Interestingly, we sort of kept in touch with his son, Sam Wheatman, and I saw him in London a couple of years ago. Okay, number three. Which ghost took the most time to apply the makeup to?
The most time to apply the makeup. Now, I'm only going to say this because I've got a keen eye. I've got a keen eye, Luke Condor, and I think not only were the Angry Princess's breasts fake, but I also think they didn't belong to the actress. I imagined that they had been created and put there.
He's thought about that.
It's either that.
You've thought about it a lot of time. Late evenings thinking about those breasts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I pretty much watched just so many making of moments of that. It's either her or the torso, I would say. I think everything else was kind of costumey. I'll say the torso. Yeah, but. Or was that even a person? Might have just been a thing, an animatronic. I'll say the Angry Princess.
It's Angry Princess.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. She wasn't. Because I thought, like, there's the hammer guy. He's got, like, stuff poking in and out of him. I thought that would take longer, but.
Maybe that's the only one that had a lasting effect on me, Luke, you see.
Okay, so number four. Which of these ghosts isn't in the 13? The torso, the dire mother, or the benippled strangler?
Oh, I would like to see. If you've got some concept art for the benippled strangler, I'd like to see it, but unfortunately not in the film, is she? He or she?
It isn't in the film. Okay, you are right, yeah. The benippled strangler was cut from the final edit of the film.
I see. It was a big finale with that.
Him and his many nipples. Okay, number five.
Get milk.
What is the name of the thing they're trying to open with... Basilius's machine. What's the name of the thing they're trying to open? They do talk about it a little bit.
The portal of doom, the gateway to hell itself. I don't know.
There's two names. So, Ocularis Infernum. Ocularis Infernum. I'll give you a go to try and translate.
Fiery eyes. I don't know.
The eye of hell. That's what they were trying to open. And apparently if you could open the Eye of Hell, you had power. So, dude, are you going to...
I've opened the Eye of Hell. It's bloody horrible now. Jesus.
Give me money. Investment. Okay. I'm running a Kickstarter to build the Eye of Hell. Okay. So, dude, you've got to grade the film.
Oh, Jesus. It's going to be a tough one. Oh, it's not really, is it?
I'm doing a wee-wee dance. This is definitely.
Do you need a wee-wee? I could definitely have a wee-wee. Maybe we should go together.
Well, I'm thinking I might have a bath later, so.
Oh, you're going to wee in the bath? Yeah. I see. And then cat get in straight afterward.
Yeah.
Let me have a think. I'll probably... I'm trying to think of what I've rated other stuff. It's a D+, because... Now I've seen this again, I kind of feel like I'd never want to watch it again.
Yeah.
That makes sense? Like,
I'm done.
I'm done with it. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's something I held dear from like years ago and a bit of nostalgia. And I enjoyed it to a degree, but at the same time, I think in terms of plot, in terms of like performances, in terms of script, it's all pretty awful. So I would probably only go as far to give it a D+. So I would say a C, but then I kind of think I've rated a few films recently a C. And I think for me, a C is like a 6 or a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if I could go that high with this, so I'll probably go for a D+.
Well, I'd probably say a 4 out of 10. So what does that translate to? That's like a...
Maybe a D or a D-.
D-. I think that sounds about right. D-.
I think however you want to translate it, however it works for you, it's fine.
So D-, it was nice to have a little visit back. Maybe in 10 years' time, I'll visit again, but I'm not particularly looking forward to that. I don't know. I think it was like I constantly kept looking at how much longer was left in the film, thinking,
"Yeah,
I can't. Is this over yet?" Like, I don't know. I would rather.
And it wasn't very long. It was only like an hour and a half long.
Yeah, yeah. It felt quite long. Just the amount of orgasms. I'd like someone to do an orgasm count.
What do you had? What?
that I had in the film.
It aches me so.
Can we do like a supercut video for YouTube where it's Matthew Lillard's orgasm count in?
She's in my pants. It sounds good. I'm it might exist already.
Let's check into that because that could be interesting. Okay, so next week I think we'll get back on the list.
Well, will we? Who knows, mate?
We always say we do, and sometimes we don't. But the next one on the list is number 14. That's The Wicker Man. And that should be fun. Oh, yeah, so last week we ended super suddenly because my dog had an allergic reaction to something.
Oh, yeah.
Her face swelled up, and I saw her face, and I was like, holy shit, I need to end this podcast.
Oh my God.
It was really pretty bad.
It was pretty good that we were at the end of the podcast as well, though.
I know, yeah. It reminded me of, you know, Blade One. You know, just kind of
She's all good now, yeah?
Yeah, it's fine, yeah. The next morning, I was kind of worried that her face would never go back to its normal size again. But yeah, the next morning, she's fine.
It would never go back.
Okay, so this show is brought to you by the Story Studio, Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. You can support the show at Ben's new Patreon account. That's patreon.com/Ben Errington. That's two R's. And there you can, you know, as little as a dollar, you can support Ben and all his endeavors, including this podcast. Thanks to cover. Also, yay, when we do the, we're gonna do like a book of hiring out. Is that going to be like a perk for patrons to get a free copy?
Yeah, sure, definitely.
Okay,
that's great.
Cool.
So we are going to do a book, pretty much just some ramblings about the 50 films that we discuss. Obviously, not the guilty pleasures like this one, and not the new releases like we've done in the past, but the 50 films from the list that we've been chatting about.
It'd be like a companion book, so if people do want to do the 50 films, they could, you know, read along as they watch them. Yeah. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners, and thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke.
Thank you all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.